Well, I didn't hear the start. There we go.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dekdag.
And hello, hello, and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's Usama Dekdag with you from the state of New York. Here I am in New York with Christy Johnston, our producer from the state of Mississippi, and Brother Adam will be with us, even though we'll have some difficulty about using one mic with two laptops. So you be patient with us, Lord willing. If you have to share something, I have to get myself out so you can get in, and we'll go from here. Because in New York, it is very difficult, Christy Johnston, to find a parking for your car, and it is very difficult to find an internet. It's very difficult to find water or oxygen to breathe. I don't know why people live in New York. Give me one reason why people love to live in New York.
Well,
Chrissy doing tonight? Go ahead.
Well, I'm doing great, but I'm thankful I don't live in New York because, sadly, everything in New York, you know, I remember when I used to read books or movies about New York, and it was just really a terrible place. I couldn't imagine anyone wanting to be there. And Rudy Giuliani cleaned up all the problems. The criminal activity in New York became a place where people could walk down the street and enjoy life. Guess what?
You know what? All this changed now. It's worse than what used to be before Rudy Giuliani. As a matter of fact, I give you advice, Chris. If you ever come to New York and you drive your car less than 25 miles an hour, do not put your car, your hand outside the car. If you have a nice watch, because somebody will be able to take the watch out of your hand, even though you're driving your own car 25 miles or less. So that's how bad it is. And if you park your car, pray over your car before you leave it, because maybe when you come back, you will not find it. Or maybe you will not find the four wheels and whatever else inside it. So that's how safe New York is. That is the future of America, as liberal Democrats will control this country. It will be New York everywhere. How about that, Christy?
That's not good, Usama, but I know what you're saying is true, because this is a way to divide the country, to create chaos. You know, we talked about this years ago under another president called Obama and the Cloward-Piven strategy, Saul Alinsky's strategy. It's always create chaos, confuse the people, and once you get them all divided against one another, you can take over.
I believe that's everybody and everyone in the whole Democrat Party, like old Clinton and Obama and old Biden. They all have the same agenda, but it's getting deeper and deeper. Remember the presentation we put together a good, 7 years ago, the presentation of Islam in America, how we started our presentation with a nice-looking frog. I mean, beautiful frog. You may like to kiss it. Perhaps it will become a prince. It's a nice frog. And we put it in this water under the top of a rock, and the temperature was just normal water from the faucet, and the frog was happy and you know how the frog is in the water. And then guess what? We start heating the water a little bit, not much, just keep it the low, low temperature. Somehow, by the time we got to the end of our presentation, we went back to the frog to see how the frog is doing, and it was boiling in the top of the water. Dead. I believe the water of the United States of America under the Democrat Party is going to get hotter and hotter. And soon, the American people will be dead, boiling in the top of the surface of this country. Sadly, I don't think the American people, not just the Democrats and the Republicans and the Independents, all of them are alike. They have no clue that they are in a pot of water and the water is getting hot. That's how America will be destroyed from within. Sadly, we need to wake up before it's too late.
Well, your example of the frog, I don't know. Maybe there's some people that don't realize this. The frog could easily jump out, but it doesn't realize how hot it's getting, right? It just stays there because first it's warm and it feels good, and just a little bit hotter and a little bit hotter. And that could happen in America. We need to wake up.
Yes, that's what is happening. I'll go to places in Maryland and in New Jersey, and here, like, everything is expensive.
Yeah.
I was staying with some friends last week, and they said, the wife told me she go to the grocery store, and she almost have a heart attack. But the Democrats do not think there's anything wrong. The economy is doing great. It is beautiful. The water is fresh. The water is clean. It's getting a little bit hot, but you do not know that, Christy. And soon you will run out of everything. You run out of oxygen. You run out of water to live with. You run out of milk. Can you imagine? For a whole week, the Walmart did not have any milk.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Who would say Walmart did not have milk? Excuse me. Does this cow went for vacation? The cow, they milk on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It took a week. The cow went to Florida? Why cow left Maryland to go to Florida that we don't have milk?
Chrissy,
you have to milk the cow. Cow cannot survive, cannot live with so much milk in their body. You have to make, get the milk out. What happened to all the milk which they milked out of these cows?
Well, I'll tell you, the truckers, they're running them out of business. They're trying to force things on them that are illegal. And the trucking, the gas prices are sky high. There's problems.
I got your point. I'm not talking about the expense of how much a gallon of milk costs.
I know, but it ends up being... It ends up not being delivered because of these things.
Oh,
we've got...
So what happened to the milk they took out of the cow on Monday?
Who knows?
Tuesday.
Who knows? No,
I know. They dump it.
Well, they could dump...
They dump it. I will show you videos online. They dump the milk in the ground.
I'm not doubting that, Usama, but what I'm trying to say is the cows still have milk. The process of getting it to the stores is really complicated now by Biden and the inflation that's going on. If you do find milk, and for myself, I've gone into many stores, you see shelves empty. You don't ever usually see that or used to see that. Even if they ran out of a certain brand of something, they would fill it up with something else. But now they don't have stuff to fill up with. So,
it's not Christmas, Christy. This is the time of the year where people celebrate and have food and enjoy life and be thankful to the Lord. I mean, from Thanksgiving until now, I see empty shelves almost in every state I have been. And believe it or not, since a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving, I thought I hit maybe about with 9 or 10 states. What happened?
Well, I want to say something because I was around during the 70s when we went through inflation that was sky high under Jimmy Carter. We were dealing with terrible problems. I've seen this before. This has come on faster and it's more severe and it's going to continue to get worse. There's a lot of younger people, Usama, they don't realize when you talk about inflation, they don't realize what it is. Somebody thinks because they bought some laundry detergent in a thing this big, okay? And then they bought another one, but it was just almost the same size, but it didn't have as much in it. And they're going, this soap company is cheating me. I said, no, you don't understand. This is inflation brought to you by the Biden administration.
Exactly. And you know what, Christy? I used to buy ice cream, and the gallon of ice cream was a gallon. And the half a gallon ice cream was a half a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Now go to the store and buy half a gallon ice cream. It's not actually half a gallon. It is 1/3 of a gallon.
Yeah.
And the gallon is actually 2/3 of a gallon. So, but also the price went, what, $3-$4 more for the same container? So you are paying less, no? You're paying
more
for less.
Yes,
for
exactly.
Less ice cream. And why is that?
Well, that's because of all these factors that the Biden administration has done to literally destroy the economy of America. It is not an accident, my friends. This is literally on purpose.
And this, all this happened in less than a year.
Yeah. And, you know, the bad thing that people don't, because they don't realize how good Trump made it because they didn't go through the bad stuff. Years ago, that I went through, and now I'm going, oh my gosh, we're going to go through that again. And gas, again, someone here talking about how expensive gas is. They do not want you to drive. They want you to have an electric car. And the new thing is they're trying to mandate that everybody has to drive an electric car. And they'll have a kill switch. Do you know what a kill switch is? You're driving down the road, and they don't want you to keep going, and they can stop you. This is totally destroying freedom in America. That's what they want.
Full control. Yes, ma'am. Full control of the American people.
Here's my flag, folks. Let's keep America free.
Amen. Amen. You know what, Christy? I've been playing the role of the devil advocate in the last few months, and I go to places, and I talk to people. I don't even know. Whoever, somebody stand next to me at the gas pump, somebody was going to put gas on the side of the pump. And I said, yeah, hello, how are you doing? I said, no problem for me, not Missouri. It's a bit expensive here like that. Oh, no, it's getting expensive. I said, maybe we pick a wrong deal for the real through this country. And I see, Democrats will not agree with me, but they cannot argue with me. So I go to Menards or I go to Lowe's and I go, I mean, I did this in what? Literally, I did it in Colorado Springs, I did it in Texas, I did it in Mississippi, I did it in Louisiana, I did it in Maryland. I'm going everywhere I go. I promise you, tomorrow I'll be talking to some of the New Yorkers here in the States. Hey, how do you like it so far? Do you love it like that? Is this really what you want? No, the Democrats are not defending their party, and the Republicans are not speaking out loud because everybody's afraid to offend somebody, going to get somebody to be upset. And guess what? We are in the boiling stage. If it keep going like that, for sure, we're going to end someday being that dead ball frog. And I'm sorry to tell you, Christy, I'm sick and tired of it because the sin of silence is getting bigger and bigger, deeper and deeper in this country, that now we got churches will not allow me to speak to tell the truth about what is going on with the Liberal Party and the Muslims of America. For heaven's sake, wait until the Muslim doubles their numbers. They will tell you what to eat and what to drink. They will tell you, this is forbidden. We're not going to sell it in Walmart or any other stores. Watch it. It's coming. Christians are quiet and nice and loving and forgiving and will not say anything to upset anybody. But Muslims will ride you as camels. Literally, American people, you will be ride by the Muslim as camels. And I don't think there's any fixing for it. It is over. Just give the Democrat another 3 years with Biden and for Kamala Harris. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, literally, I have no clue what would happen to this country tomorrow. Not next week or next month. Tomorrow. That is Sunday. Tomorrow.
Well, you know, Usama, it is a bleak picture, and I know people are very discouraged, but we have the hope that's in Jesus Christ, because if Christians will stop being just nice and truly love their neighbors, to share the gospel. I'm sorry, there's a lot of people in church that don't know Jesus. They're truly not saved. They just go to church and they're nice people. But Jesus wants us to speak the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we have to share that message, because there are a lot of folks that really could change the course of America if they were listening to the Lord and listening to his Holy Spirit and speaking the truth in spite of what people might say. Oh, you're crazy. Yeah. That's not true. I hate you. You know, are you really hurt when someone says they don't like you? I mean, give me a break. Everybody is not going to like you.
You're repeating what I just have shared with a couple friends of mine from Wisconsin just a couple hours ago as we're traveling in our way to come here to New York. And she said, we're loving these Muslim people for hell. Yeah. And we're loving the liberals. I mean, I'm telling you, when we're loving the liberals for hell, we're destroying our country by our own hands because we choose not to obey Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We need to obey the political correctness, which is nothing but garbage belongs to the garbage can. It is not good for you. It's not good for your children. It's not good for your neighbor, liberal, Democrat, Muslims, whatever they are. It is not good for anybody to keep silent. We are being foolish. Maybe somebody needs to speak and say, hey, the water is getting warmer, and we are in the water. If we continue to stay in the water, we will be boiled, and it will be the end of our existence. Maybe somebody needs to say that, because not because we hate the rest of the frog around us, but because we love every frog in the water.
Yeah.
The only way to live and survive is stand up for the truth. Speak it in boldness and in love. Forget about the political correctness and the stupidity of the liberals of this country, because they know. They're not going to say anything to upset anybody. And believe me, Christy, the day is coming, and they will shut this station down. What we're doing here, this ministry will be shut down, because there will be plenty of the Muslims to complain and say, we don't want to hear. That's just the introduction of this program. What do you mean revealing the truth about the darkness of Islam? What do you mean revealing the falsehood of Muhammad or the Quran? This is insulting to Islam and to the Muslims. You need to shut this down. And when that day comes, trust me, the frog will be boiled.
You know, Usama, someone in the chat had made a comment that Catholics are very pro-life, and they don't understand how they'd vote for pro-abortion policies. You know what? I don't believe necessarily that the majority of Catholics voted for old Biden, but the truth is that one of the problems we have is people are afraid to say they oppose abortion. And this is not just Catholics, but this is people in the Baptist church, in some other Protestants, in Assembly of God. And I know I campaigned really hard about 10 years ago for a bill in the state of Mississippi, which was called I can't even think of the name of it right now. That's how long ago it was. But it would have stopped abortion in Mississippi.
But there was not enough Christians to go out and push it. I was there and you told me about it.
But I want to tell you what happened. This was the part that just devastated me and broke my heart. We had some flyers explaining what this bill would do. It was called the personhood bill. It meant that an unborn baby is a person and you can't murder them. So in that flyer, it explained what the bill would do and how it would protect unborn babies, okay? All the people I knew who were Christians said, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for it, Or they would say, oh, I'm sure it will pass. But because there's so many Christians here in Mississippi, I said, wait a minute, that's not what I see happening. So we took these flyers to a church, and we put them on a table, and we had them there for people to just pick up and read. I was so excited that we were putting these things out there for folks. When we came back the next day, all the flyers were gone. I was so happy. Oh, look, people want to know about the personhood bill. They want to stop abortion. Guess what? No, the pastor had picked them up, and this was what he said. Oh, we can't put these out. It isn't telling both sides of the issue. There's another side? I will never get over that. I will never get over that. There's no other side.
Stupid is stupid does. Let me put it this way. I remember when during this time in Missouri, as I traveled through Missouri, near Cape Girardeau, there's a big empty lot there, which now actually they're building a hospital near it, and it's growing to be a business. But on that lot, they have crosses.
Mm-hmm.
With the number of the 100, and each one crosses, and a big stand in the middle of Jesus, and pray to end abortion.
Yeah.
And at this time, I spoke against these crosses. You know what I said? I said, collect these crosses, put them in a pile, and burn them, and plant corn on the same piece of land. You would benefit from corn on that land than these crosses, because, sadly, Christy, the Baptists as a Catholic, who said they will stand up for abortion, who said they will pray to end abortion, who said they will vote against abortion, the Baptist and the Catholic girls are the one who's getting pregnant, and they are the one who have an abortion. I'm sorry to tell you this. This is not about denomination, Catholic or Baptist. It's about life. It's about to be sincere in your walk with Christ. Who are the ones committing abortion? A husband and wife who just happy that she got pregnant, they just run to the abortion clinic because of baby? Of course not.
No.
Who are the ones who commit abortion?
What?
It is single moms. Who are not, they don't want to be moms. They just want to sleep and have sex and have good time. That's what it is.
You saw that?
Yes, ma'am.
No, I just want to tell you, I agree with you. And the problem is many pastors don't want to speak out against abortion because they know there are many people in their congregation who have had abortions and they don't want to hurt their feelings. They want to kill a baby but not hurt her feelings. That's crazy.
Excuse me, feeling my foot. Abortion is killing my baby. And I can say, There's a million ways to stop the mama from getting pregnant. But after she become pregnant, there's no way to kill the baby. I don't care what laws they're passing, what rules they're passing. If I'm standing before God with a clear conscience, I know after the pregnancy took place, that is not her body as much as it is not his body. Guess what?
Nice.
That's a baby body. And I don't know what excuse people can give to do. Well, it's not good for the mother. It's not good for the baby. It's not good for our morality. It's not good for America. It is a double word. And by the way, these black mamas who are happy to be Democrat because the Democrats are killing the baby, that's why they force abortion on black people years and years ago, because that Sister Mary, whatever her name was, she wanted to end the existence of black people in America. It is the Democrat agenda to get rid of the black. But dumb Democrat women who go vote for the Democrats so they can have the liberty to kill the baby, what a sick mental, spiritual society. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we need to remember is that women who have had abortions, they need prayer, they need to repent, they need healing spiritually and emotionally, because abortion does not leave the woman in a better state. It is a very destructive thing for the mother, and it's death for the baby, and this is not a good thing to go on.
Christy, here's the fact. Sin is sin.
Yeah.
Lying equal to abortion, killing a baby, equal to hatred, equal to stealing, equal to bear false witness. Lie is the smallest sin, and we all do it. But guess what? In God's eyes, there is no big sin or small sin.
Right.
So if you think, oh, these Christian righteous, you Usama Daktok and Christy Johnson are speaking about me because I have committed an abortion. Sister, every time you see somebody, Jesus taught us in the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mountain, without reason, you have already killed that person. Every time a man or a woman look at the other person's sex by their eyes, unless with their heart, they already committed adultery. There is no big sin or small sin in Christianity. And
that's
everything
right.
can be forgiven. The biggest lie Satan would like to give to you and to me and to everybody, oh, you always live with that guilt. No, Jesus died to pay for the sin of humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You are forgiven if you accept the free gift of eternal life. You are forgiven if you repent of your sin and don't repeat it. You are not forgiven to be silent about it and don't talk about it because you worry about hurting somebody's feeling. Christian ministers, shame on you. You are the reason why this country will be destroyed from within. And I believe every Christian minister who refuses not to talk about any sin, if it's lie or murder, if it's a baby in the mother womb or somebody get a bullet in somebody else's head, if you don't talk about it, you're living in a worse sin. It's called the sin of silence. And someday, you're going to stand up before God and say, Lord, Lord, I preach in your name. I cast demons in your name. I prophesy in your name. And you know what Jesus will tell you, Mr. Preacher? He will tell you, away from me, you evildoer. I do not know you. That's exactly the end of every man and woman who claim to be a Christian but does not tell the truth about any sin. It doesn't matter what it is. If an iron will not sharpen an iron, that means these two iron will not be good and will not be used for God's kingdom. I hope and I pray that I will never stop to talk about any sin, even the sin which I fall in and I commit in my life, because then I will be stand guilty before the Lord forever. Never stop talking about sin. I remember in one of our preaching classes with Dr. James Shaddix. He said, if a preacher will only preach about the things which he does not fail in, which the sin which he does not make mistakes in, the church pulpit will be empty, and he and his church will go to the wrong road. So it doesn't matter. It's not because you fall in the sin of abortion then you're not going to talk about it. No, mama. You talk about it. Your baby is in heaven, and you can be forgiven for the sin. You need to speak about it that you may end that sin. Otherwise, it's going to get deeper and deeper. Not only killing baby inside the mother womb, but even calling the old who reached their late 60, early 70, because you're not any good for the society anymore. You're a taker, not giver. And believe me, this is going to come to America. Anyway, I don't know what else I'm going to share with you, Chris, except go ahead, sister.
No, I do have a couple more things, but
sure.
I just wanted to touch on that abortion case because people really need to pray. But we were just talking a couple minutes ago, and I'm looking at an article. Inflation rate right now is the highest it has been in nearly 40 years. That goes back to what I was telling you.
It is. If you listen to CNN and you listen to MSNBC and CBS and all these wonderful liberal, actually, America is doing great right now.
Oh, yes, I know. They're doing wonderful.
Mr. Biden is fixing the country. I wish we can continue to go that road because, trust me, America will be the dead frog in the top of the water, boiling frog in the top of the water. That's exactly what's coming to America if we keep listening to these garbage liars.
Well, I'm giving you the bad news, and then I'll give some good news. Murders are at all-time highs in Democrat-run U.S. cities. They have risen 45% from 2020 to 2021. Yeah. That's increased by almost half the number of murders. Crazy.
Yeah, soon it will be 245%, Christy. You're going to add 200% to it. Just give O'Biden the next 3 years, and I promise you, it will be 200+%. Trust me.
Now, here's another bit of not such good news. Non-citizens in New York City will gain the right to vote in municipal, that means your city elections, under a new measure approved Thursday by the city council that would give access to the ballot box for 800,000 green card holders and so-called Democrats. Okay, what is happening is, they can only vote in city elections. We know elections, fraudulent votes. This is going to go into national and statewide elections.
Exactly.
This is so wicked. It is so wicked. But there we go.
Yes, I promise you, before the end of Mr. O'Biden's first term, all people inside America, I don't care if you are illegal, if you are a criminal, if you are whatever, all people in America will be voting, and they'll be voting twice or maybe three times to make sure that whoever is going to be running after Mr. O'Biden will have the victory for the Democrat Party. That is the only way Democrats will hold any seat from now on. Illegal will vote, and they're not going to vote once. Because if they're illegal and they're going to vote, trust me, they're going to be voting two, three, four times. But that's how. They're going to flip every vote in every city in this country, in every place, even the presidential in 2024. I believe if the Democrats will get it, if you got the Lord Jesus Christ himself to run as a president against O'Biden or anybody of the Democrats, Jesus Christ will lose so badly because they will steal the election from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me, Christy? If our Lord, God Almighty, come and run for that office, he will not get it. Just let the Democrats do the cheating and the lying, and they will keep winning and winning and winning.
Well, you saw the other thing that is going on, and I hope people will watch Frank's speech or Lindell TV. There is so much evidence that these machines who take our votes change them. But all they need is the name of a voter to do it. Even if that voter doesn't vote, they vote and cast ballots in their...
Even if that voter is dead.
Yes. So that is another problem with all these people being registered to vote. Even if they don't vote, they can use their names to cast fraudulent votes.
And you know what the Democrats will tell you? Stop listening to these garbage liars. They're not telling the truth. It's like if you talk to the Muslims in America, they will tell you, stop listening to Usama Daktok. Stop listening to Adam Seeker. Stop listening to anybody and everybody who tells the truth about Islam because these people are liars. Islam is love. Islam is peace. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, okay? We love you so much. But they want to kill you if you don't listen. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to give you some other things. This is just an interesting thing that's going on because we know we're seeing signs of Christ's return. And I sent you a picture of a statue or sculpture at the UN, and it literally looks like the beast from Revelation and Daniel. But I did find out so that y'all know in doing some research. It is quite a large one. I'd say it's between 10 to 15 feet long and probably about 4 or 5 feet tall. That is my guess.
Can you put it on your screen, Christy? Can you put the picture on the screen?
Well, I can, but I'll it might be a little complicated.
Just open your phone and put your phone straight shot on the screen where we can see it for now. Next time we'll maybe put it on the Instagram.
All right. All right. Hold on.
Just open your picture.
I will. I will. I just have to get it on here.
You know, as me and Adam were talking about this picture, we saw the designer, the people who made it up. Does he have any clue what they're talking, what
they're
doing?
I don't believe so. That's what I want to tell you. Hold on. I'll show it to you, and then I'll tell you what I have learned about it. It is... Hold on. I got to look. I'm trying to look at the picture so I can see. Wait a minute.
Camera?
Yeah, just close a second the because the light is reflecting off of it.
That's okay. We can see it good.
And
we
everything is backwards.
No, ma'am. It's good. I can see it. Thank you, Chrissy. I appreciate that.
Okay.
We'll put it in a slide next week.
Yeah. Anyway, I did learn something. This thing was... made from artists in Oaxaca, Mexico, and it was given as a gift. So I don't know that we paid for it, but we probably paid to install it as taxpayers. But the thing is, people who are in Oaxaca and in many of these communities in Mexico, they're imitating the art style of the Aztecs and the Mayans, who were worshippers of very bizarre things, but they're very artistic in creating these images that probably harken back to some ancient statues that would have been in the Aztec or Mayan culture. Yeah. So it's just weird that it looks like the beast image of Revelation and Daniel. And, you know, but God knows what these things are. And, you know, it is called the Guardian of Peace and Security.
Allahu Akbar, Christy. Allahu Akbar.
Or peace and security. When they say peace and safety, a Christian was saying, very, very, very bad sign.
Peace,
very bad sign.
Peace my foot. The Bible said... They will cry, peace, peace, and there will not be peace.
That's right.
So we know the scripture.
It also says peace and safety. They will say peace and safety. They'll cry for it. Anyway.
Our safety right now, Christy, in America, beyond your imagination. Literally, the crime is not punished anymore. That makes it safe. People can go to your business and steal stuff 10 times a day, as long as every time is less than $1,000, and that's not the crime. That is safe.
Hey,
you need to start a business somewhere in a liberal city.
In Chicago, the mayor said that these smash and grabs are the fault of the store owners because they need to hire security and make better security for their businesses.
I saw we don't need the police.
You hire your own police.
Why do you want to hire security?
No. You need to hire your own police.
Listen. And if we hire our own police and that police protect the business and cause some harm to any of those people who work hard for 10 minutes to make $995, if he did that, that man would go to jail and maybe spend years and years in prison. It makes sense. He got it right, Christy.
It's sick. Well, I want to give you the good news, but I have one more thing that happened here in the last few days, or the last 24 hours, 48 hours. Oregon, and I saw this because I have an earthquake alert on my phone. I kept going, man, this is crazy. There were a series of over 50 earthquakes. All ranging in different magnitudes, but the experts said this seismic activity is nothing to be alarmed about. I was seeing earthquakes occurring near Oregon for, it was going on all day long, and I thought something was wrong with the alert system. But no, there were over 50 earthquakes in 24 hours. Also,
in Oregon alone.
Pardon me?
Is it in Oregon alone or other areas?
Off the coast of Oregon, just there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of weird that that would happen. And they're saying, oh, it's nothing to worry about. But, you know, if I was in Oregon, I would be worried. We've got some states on the West Coast, like California is now going to become the abortion sanctuary state. They're advertising it. I'd watch out. Please, God, deliver these people out of these states. Okay.
The sanctuary state is supposed to be for those who commit crime accidentally and thoroughly found guilty or not guilty. Now, we would take the women who would like to have an abortion to California and help yourself, sweetheart. And by the way, go sleep around and get pregnant again and come back and we will kill your baby. And don't worry, tax money payer will take care of it. Go ahead.
Okay, so here's another couple of good news pieces.
Good news.
Biden's mandates are rapidly losing favor with voters, and courts are rejecting those things and mandates. Okay, that's very important. And
you
then
mean my body is now my body will become back my body.
I don't know, but I think we're making some serious progress. And I'm really thankful for that. There's been one after another court that has said, you can't do this to the American people. You can't.
Yes,
thank you,
amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Okay.
That is the one only good news I got from you tonight.
Well, you got some other good news that I just told you.
That's okay.
So 18 school boards, okay, have now cut their ties with the National School Board Association. Remember, these teachers' associations, it used to be parent and teacher association, but they are cutting their ties with these groups because they've been telling they've been trying to say that you need to watch the parents because they're domestic terrorists. So they're going, we don't want nothing to do with you anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
The 18 will be 180 or 1,800 because there are plenty out there who hate us, the parents, because we're not supposed to tell the school what to teach our children or how to make a new generation according to their wishes, not according to our wishes. And if we're not the one who built the school, pay the expense of the school for the rest of our life. God help us. We're losing our children, and we'll pay for it. That is an oxymoron. That is foolishness. But anyway, Christy, let's take a quick break.
Yep.
And when we come back, Lord's willing, I'll be talking with you about the rest of our study in Islam.
Many people have serious questions about the religion of Islam. Who are Muslims, and what do they believe? Liberal Muslim scholars and clerics spin the news and continually promote Islam as the religion of peace, and that Jews, Christians, and Muslims worship the same God. But is this true? Where can we turn for the answers? To truly know what a faith teaches, you have to go to the book. And for the last 1,400 years, that book for Muslims is the Quran. This collection of the sayings and teachings that Muhammad claimed to have received from Allah is the sacred text for over a billion Muslims worldwide. But the Quran was written in Arabic, so how can we in the West learn what it really says? Muslim apologists have produced several English translations over the years, but these have been carefully edited to hide many of the blatant errors, immoral teachings, and violent commands throughout the book.
In the beginning of our ministry, we decided to tell the truth about Islam. Therefore, we decided to buy the English translation of the Quran to use the verses which is written there. Sadly, I could not find one Quran to present the truth as it is written in the Arabic language. They sugarcoat it. They water it down. That's why we decided to go ahead and translate the Quran from Arabic to English, a true English translation.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry, in cooperation with Arab and English scholars from around the world, has produced the most accurate English translation of Islam's holy book ever printed. Read for yourself exactly what Muhammad taught his followers about war and violence, about sex and marriage, about the treatment of infidels, and more importantly, what he said about Jesus.
Islam is not what I share with you or what some modern Muslims tell you. Islam is the verses of the Quran. We must separate Muslim from Islam. There are so many wonderful Muslim people out there, but they are not true Muslims because simply they don't practice what the Quran teaches. So many American people say they accept Islam. They do not have any problem for Muslims to practice Islam in America. But same people rejecting Sharia, Islamic law, not knowing that Sharia, Islamic law, is a practice of the verse of the Quran.
This translation has been produced with the modern student in mind, with several key features including study notes for the reader, detailed notes concerning errors and contradictions in the text, careful comparisons between the Quran and biblical accounts, and references to the original sources that Muhammad borrowed from. Special sections discuss key topics such as a compilation of non-Arabic words and idioms found in the Quran, an easy-to-follow chart outlining the fulfilled prophecies concerning Jesus in the Old Testament, and a challenging gospel invitation to introduce the reader to the scientific, historical, and biblical reasons for accepting the true Jesus as the only Lord and Savior.
In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It is time for us to read the Quran. It's time for us to find the truth for ourselves.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Read the Quran for yourself and understand the roots of this dangerous faith. Individual copy and case pricing are available.
And welcome back. We're glad to have you with us tonight. It is Usama from New York, and Sister Christy is the state of Mississippi. Christy, well, look forward to a great study here tonight as we continue with our study for women in Islam. If I remember exactly, Christy, this slide is where we stopped last time. Do you remember that?
Yes, I think so. But I've only...
Great.
Yes, it's. I think that's where we stopped.
All right, let's move on from here. And if there's any question in the chat room or for the people writing on the comment there, please let me know and we'll address them as they fit with our study. I don't want to chase rabbit tonight. We have enough already problem with everything else. Here we go.
Her husband is not her master. A Muslim woman has only one master, and that is God. If her husband does not represent God's will in the home, the marriage contract is broken.
Wow. The husband is not the master. What are you talking about? Are you talking about a Christian husband or a Muslim husband? You know, if this Sister Rakia, some Christian lady, teaches this message, I say, yes, indeed. The husband is not the master. Why? Because we know that we are together. One man, one woman. A man leave his mother and his father, unite with his wife, become one flesh. If I and my wife are one flesh, there's no such a thing as a husband as a master, and the wife is a slave. But the reality is that's not what the Quran teaches. That's not what Islam is. As a matter of fact, the husband is a master because Allah put him in charge of women. Men are in charge of women. This is not my opinion. That is the word of Allah. And if you think that if the husband became a master for the wife, that marriage contract is broken, well, there will not be one family in the Muslim world. Every woman will have the right to get divorced. Hello? Why women never divorce their husband? Because the husband is in charge. Why a woman cannot divorce her husband, as we talked about in our last program? Because she has no power to divorce her husband. Because you cannot divorce your master. The master can fire you, divorce you. The master can kill you. The master can do whatever he wants to do to you. But you have zero, let me say, zero power. Are you following me, Christy?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Let's go. Let's continue with Dr. Rakia Abdel Maksoud.
What should one make of the verse in the Quran that allows a man to punish his wife physically? There are important provisos. He may do so only if her ill will is wrecking the marriage, but then only after he has exhausted all attempts at verbal communication and tries sleeping in a separate bed.
Oh, my word. My heart is broken. Let me see if I have any napkin. I have some napkin here. I want to cry. Here, I found one napkin, Christy. Let me cry for a minute. You know what's so ridiculous about that woman? She's a professional liar.
Yeah.
Where is the verse you talk? Did you say she's going to read the verse for us? Why, Dr. Rukaya, talk about Islam, Christy, Justin, and never quoted one verse from the Quran? What is so hard to literally support your teaching with the word of Allah in the Quran or the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith?
Because there aren't any things to support it.
But she said it. The Quran tells us that a man can punish his wife.
She's lying. No, well, he can.
Yeah, I know. She said, yeah. What do you have to do with this verse? Well, it's an important prayer. There's important
Oh, yeah, you know, it's just not like you can do it. You got to have all this special stuff. Provisions.
Hey, listen, they may do so only if her ill will wreck the marriage. Wow. That's a good reason for why a man can beat his wife. Because you're a stupid wife, and you're going to destroy this marriage, so I'm going to beat you. And if I beat you, then our marriage will be strong. And we love each other. And every once in a while, I beat you again because I'm trying to do this for the good of the family. Christy, imagine, your husband beat you once a week or twice a week for the good of the marriage. How do you like that, Christy?
Oh, this makes for a wonderful marriage. No way.
So when you spank your kid, honey, I'm doing this for your own good. Baby, it hurt me more than it hurt you. Aha! Honey, my wife, honey, I'm going to beat you because it hurt me as much as it hurt me, maybe more, because I'm doing this for the good of our marriage. Okay, turn it on, baby. Give me a butt. Grab a piece of wood, and spank her butt. Until her butt turns red, like the word vanish here, as we see on the slide. But listen to this, because this, we have to be fair here. First, he has to do everything he can with words, verbal communication. Lady, please do what's right. Woman, I'm going to beat you. I'm telling you, you better do what's right. I feel it. And then, you know what? From now on, in the next 2 weeks, I'm not going to sleep with you. Oh, don't worry. I got other wives. He will have his good time, but she will not. So he's punishing her physically. After he talk. If she will not listen to his preaching, and then he will sleep in separate bed, and this is going to end the marriage and divorce. You know what? I will just beat you. When I beat you, it's good for you, it's good for marriage, and Allahu Akbar. Yeah, mashallah, mashallah. How do you like that, Christy?
Well, I've told you, I'm not ever going to become a Muslim.
You're not going to marry a Muslim man?
Oh, I'm not ever going to, no. And I'm not ever going to become a Muslim, just like some of these women have done, and then hunted down a Muslim husband. We've had women who've told us this. No.
But notice here, there are three steps. First, I'm going to preach to my wife. Second, I'm going to sleep in separate bedroom with my other wives. Thirdly, I'm going to beat the delight out of her so I can save the marriage, so I can sleep with her and allow myself to be the master over her. Because after all, she cannot divorce me. She cannot beat me back. I just beat her, and I will do everything I can to fix the marriage. And when she is obedient, when she submits to the master, then the marriage is back to life, and we're healthy, sleeping together in our bed, and go on with our beautiful, loving, peaceful marriage. All right. It makes sense. Listen to this. Listen to the biggest lie from the bottom of hell.
However, the prophet never hit a woman, child, or old person, and was emphatic that those who did could hardly regard themselves as the best of Muslims. Moreover, he also stated that a man should never hit one of God's handmaidens, nor, it must be said, should wives beat their husbands or become inveterate nags.
When my wife beat me last week, I was so upset. I couldn't sleep all night. And I said, you need to listen to the Prophet of Allah. Prophet Muhammad, peace and prayer and blessing be on him. He said, you should never hit me. Look at you. She broke my shoulder. She hit me so hard, Christy. I couldn't sleep for 4 days. I'm going to divorce her someday if she keeps doing that to me. Anyway, all right. That was the act. That was drama. My wife will not beat me. Trust me. My wife is a Christian. But, by the way, in Islam, a wife cannot touch her husband. I'm going to read you the verses of the Quran. So you understand the level of love of lies, the level of stupidity for somebody to listen to that woman. She says, first, Muhammad never hit a woman, a child, or an old person. What if I share with you that Muhammad hit a woman who just happened to be a child who was his favorite wife? And can you imagine that? I will break her lie with two lies in one by one stone. Muhammad hit a woman who was a child, and she was his wife. As for an old person, I got many stories. I remember a lady by the name Umm Kurfa. She was in her 80s. She wrote a poetry to expose Muhammad. Look now, we are talking about Muhammad and Islam, and we're exposing Islam. But that woman in her days, Ummu Qurfa, her name, she wrote a poetry to expose Muhammad. And Muhammad ordered his son, Zayd, to tie her between two camels and force the camels to go to two separate directions. That woman was split to two halves. He didn't hit the old woman. He just break her to two pieces, alive, Mr. Johnson.
That's
and that
horrible.
Was the order of Prophet Muhammad, Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be upon him.
Oh, he never hit her. Oh, wow.
No. He just split her to two pieces.
Split in two pieces. That's lovely.
I love this. Can you explain to me what is this Christ here? Moreover, okay, no. What? Elizabeth. And was what is this word? How he says word is? Empathetic? Empathic?
Oh,
what is, how
he, says? He was emphatic. It means...
What emphatic means? Explain to me the word emphatic.
It is to be very severely, staunchly... This is it. There's no other way. That's emphatic.
Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Mashallah, mashallah. That those who did could hardly regard themselves as best of Muslims. You mean Muhammad is not the best of the Muslims?
Obviously.
Help me with the English, because I'm sorry, English is my third language, and I have a hard time to speak my own first Arabic language. So now, Muhammad said, it is absolutely 100% no for a person to call himself a Muslim and who does this. You mean Muhammad is not a good example anymore? Muhammad is not the noblest example for Muslims to follow because he not just hit, he hurt her, a child, a wife who is beloved in his heart. He also stated that a man should never hit one of God's handmaidens. What is God's handmaidens, Christy?
Well, under the Muslim definition, I really am not sure. But I would guess it means a woman who is a Muslim. I don't know.
Handmaidens means what? I don't understand what this word. Handmaiden.
Handmaiden is someone who serves in a household, like a maid or something. They
a slave.
Oh,
a
well,
slave.
I guess in Islam that would be what it is.
They don't hire women to work in the days of Muhammad. They just take
just
slaves.
Just have slaves.
Okay.
Oh, and he shouldn't hit them. Oh, that's good.
But don't forget, please call my wife and tell her Muhammad said you should never bet you hit your stomach anymore. Please.
I'll let her know.
See, there's a word wives here. Wives, never. Not wife. Wives. When a Muslim man married to four, they can all get together and beat the daylight out of him.
Oh, man. And if they all ganged up together. That'd be
takbir, good. Takbir, Sister Kuti. Mashallah, mashallah. You know how many women in Egypt, literally, when I was in Egypt, before I left Egypt 30 years ago, how many cases we read about in the newspaper and we heard on the TV, it, to the point they're making jokes. I'm not kidding you. They're making jokes. You know how you get shortage in the country about specific foods or specific goods and get expensive? Okay? Now, there was shortage in Egypt with bags, especially black bags. You know why?
No, why?
Because women was using black bags to put the pieces of their husband's body in it to get rid of it in garbage cans. They get sick and tired of it. When your husband beat you in the morning, beat you in the evening, beat you in the afternoon, follow the Sunnah of Muhammad, as we're going to see that a verse in the Quran, Dr. Rukiya Jamal Abdul Maksud is talking about, well, guess what? Some of these women got smart. They gave their husbands some sleeping pills or something. They went to sleep. They cut their head off, and they cut them to pieces, and they bought them in separate bags. That's why we got many cases like that all over the country. So they were making cartoon jokes about, do you have any black bags? No, I don't have it. How much is it? Well, they're too expensive. It costs $10 a bag, you know? Something like that. Ridiculously, jokes to mock the idea that Muslim women are getting smarter and they're killing their husbands and dispose their body in different beds. Now, it is the hadith, that is Sahih Muslim, the correct hadith of Muslim, and hadith number 2127. Listen carefully, Christy, please. Here it is.
Why is it, O Aisha, that you're out of breath? I said, there is nothing. He said, tell me, or Allah would inform me. And then I told him. He said,
was it the darkness of your shadow that I saw in front of me? I said, yes. He struck me on the chest, which caused me pain, and then said, did you think that Allah and his apostle would deal unjustly with you?
It's not just Muhammad, Christy. It is Allah and Muhammad together, the teamwork. Allah and his apostle.
Wonderful.
What did Muhammad do to Aisha? Can you tell me what he did? He kissed her? Give her a hug?
No, he hit her in her chest.
Oh, I don't know. Does it hurt for a man to hit a woman on her chest?
Yes.
Are you sure? Because maybe that's a soft place where you don't feel pain. Huh?
No, sorry. That's painful.
Was this a life beating, Christy? A man hit a wife on her chest? And by the way, Aisha was not that old. She was a child, okay?
Yeah.
A little girl. A little girl. Muhammad married her when she was 6. He had sex with her, real sex, when she was 9 because he used to play with her from outside. He used to touch her, her private part from outside without intercourse for 3 years. He was just preparing her. But at the age of 9, when he's 54, imagine with me, 54 old man with a little girl 9 years old. Some say 8. That's why the book of Sharia said 8 or 9. There are lots of the traveler, a Muslim book, approved by the other university, taught to all Muslim imam in planet Earth. It says 8 or 9. Depends. Now, important thing is, as we covered this a few programs ago, that it will not cause her harm. But if it causes her harm, this is life. This is life. So, we're talking about Aisha, little girl, and Muhammad hit her on her chest. Cause her pain. And the answer is, you cannot tell me that Allah and his apostle will deal with you. You deserve it, you stupid wife. You deserve it. This is Allah and Muhammad. The main thing in Islam is the custom. It is the sunnah of Muhammad. And I know some Muslims say, you're lying, Mr. Dagdog. It has to be light beating. Yes, indeed, light beating. Let's see the verses of the Quran, and then we'll see about how light that beating is. That is the verse which Dr. Abdul Maksud did not bother to quote, Christy. It's just a verse in the Quran. You know what? A verse in the Quran, but we cannot just do it that way. They have to go through 3 steps. 3 steps. Are you ready, Christy?
Ready.
Here we go.
And of whom you fear rebellion, so preach to them and separate from them in the beds and scourge them. So if they obey you, so do not seek a way against them. Surely Allah was higher big.
The 3 options here go together. He did not say, so preach to them, then separate from them in bed, then scourge them. No. It is where, and. So I go home one night, and I felt, I was worried in my conscience, I was worried in my mind, I was worried in my thought that, hey, that woman of mine is about to rebel. And of whom you fear rebellion, وَلَّتِي تَخَفُونَ بِشُزُونَ. Not the one who rebel. Christy, forget about it. If you rebel, sweetheart, you're dead. Trust me. You rebel at your husband and say, if you fear that they may rebel. Okay, she looked like, hey, make me a hot tea. Honey, my back hurt. Your back what? Are you out of your, are you serious? Your back hurt? So stand up right now, woman, and fix me dinner, and do this, and if you do 4 months, and if you don't, he will go, 3 things. First, I'm going to preach to you, and, remember, not then, it's and, I will encourage you, separate from you from bed, and scourge you. I use the word scourge with the word in Arabic, فَضْرُبُهُنَّ. Why did I use this word? Not beat them lightly, as some Muslims translated. Because if you understand what is the beating here, as you may see some of the pictures we have in our presentation, this will make sense. We're talking about real beating. Talking about real punishment. And I love how Muslims like to lie. You know, you get miswak. Miswak is a piece of wood. You clean your teeth with like a toothpick, you know, Christy. And you hit your wife with a toothpick. Oh, stop it now. I'm going to hit you. Christy, are you listening to me? I'm going to hit you. Get it there. Toothpick in my hand. No, you idiot. That's a hogwash. propaganda Islam.
Well, I just think it's interesting, and it says, "And of whom you fear rebellion." Well, how about you beat her yesterday, and now you're afraid she might rebel because of the way you're treating her?
You beat her again today.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no limit. You beat her again tomorrow. If she's stupid and stubborn, we're going to beat her the life out.
Well, maybe if she just, he thinks, yeah, after I beat her, she's probably thinking about rebelling.
Yeah. Here is Ibn Kathir, Christy, the life beating. I love the life beating with the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir. For his interpretation of that verse, we'll read the following.
In explanation of how severe the punishment should be, Ibn Kathir says that the punishment should not cause broken bones, but it should be a light beating.
Oh. What do you think of the beating which does not cause broken bones, Christy? Can we use this like scourge? Can I use the word scourge, right?
I think so.
I mean, this is the reality of the punishment in Islam. You beat your wife as long as she will not shed blood. Bruises is fine. I'm going to prove it to you. Women in Islam, the wife of the Muslim believers, used to have bruises all over the body. Bruises is fine. It's okay. The important thing is you don't shed blood. Don't cut the skin and you don't break the bones. In Egypt, where I come from, if a Muslim lady was able to escape her husband's house, she ran out of the house. She go to the police station. Help me, save me. My husband is beating the daylight out of me. They would take her to the hospital. They run her through the x-ray machine. If there's no broken bones as a result of the beating, the police would take her back to her husband. And guess what, Christy? Now you're home, and you know your wife disappeared for 2-3 hours, which, by the way, women do not leave their homes at any time they wish. It's not like she went shopping, she went to visit her mama. No. You leave the house, you have to get permission from your husband, okay? So you left the house, and the police is bringing your wife back home. And surprise, surprise, now your face is so embarrassed because you don't have a broken bone. And your husband's going to, oh, thank you, officer. Appreciate you for bringing my wife back to me. Guess what your husband would treat you from that point on? Oh, with love, Christy, with respect. He didn't insult him. He don't rebel against him. He don't hurt his feeling. He just runs to the hospital. You're hoping to escape his marriage. And now he's going to teach you, really, what is the real beating. Aren't you agree with me, Christy?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what happens. Yeah,
it's terrible. It's a sick relationship, Christy. And I'm going to take a quick break. We'll come back, Lord's willing. We're going to go for another set of verses and the rest of our study, Lord's willing. Here we go.
The Straightway Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straightway to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach the lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini-booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God, that the Quran overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel truth of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. To order these new booklets, please visit thestraightway.org for more information. And now, back to our show.
And welcome back. We're glad to have you with us on this beautiful Saturday. If you guys are interested and you live near New York and you'd like to know where I'll be speaking tomorrow, we have two meetings, one in the morning and one late in the day. If you're interested, please give me a call, and I will tell you how, where I'm going to be, because right now I don't have really the addresses for it. Actually, you know what? I maybe have something here. I maybe share with you one place I'm speaking tomorrow, and Lord is willing, then we can share with you a little bit later where the other place. I think, yes, tomorrow, Lord's willing, I'll be speaking Sunday in a church, which is 80-45 Winchester Boulevard, Queens Village, and that's New York, 11427. If you would like to come and meet me there, and that would be in the Sunday service in the morning. The church telephone number is not here, so I cannot see it. I'm sorry, but if you call me, I'll be happy to share the telephone number with you. Lord is willing. Actually, you know what? Let's see the address. 715-419-3197. 718-718-419-3197. That is the church number where I'll be speaking tomorrow. But if you give me a call, I'll tell you where I am exactly. Let's see, any comments before we move to the next slide?
Nope. Go right ahead.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's listen to Ibn Kathir's commentary about the hadith concerning the Muhammad and his opinion and the good Muslim believers in Muhammad is in their treatment to their wives.
Omar took his wife and beat her, then said to Ashaf, memorize three things for me, which I memorized from the prophet who said, the man is not to be asked why he beat his wife.
Just imagine with me, Christian. This is the noble example of Muhammad who beat his favorite wife, the little girl, Aisha. He is teaching the good Muslims, like Omar and other, many things. This is the beauty of the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith. Just learning it, learn this good, guys. Don't disgust. Remember now, in Muhammad days, years ago, they don't have these walls with insulation and soundproof so you can do to your wife something, beat her, and she scream, and the neighbor cannot say, no. Their homes, you can hear not just your neighbors, the neighbors. You can know what's going on in these small, tiny homes where if a woman scream, you know that somebody is beating somebody. But here's the son of Muhammad. Listen carefully now, guys. Don't you dare tell your neighbor, why did you beat your wife last night, man? None of your business. Why did you beat your wife last night? Which means what, Christy? Muhammad never encouraged people to beat their wife. And if you beat your wife or any of the handmaids, these slaves you got in your house, you're not a good Muslim. Is that the conclusion, Christy? Help me out here. Is this what you learned from that saying here?
Well, what I learned is don't ask. That's what he's saying.
Do you remember what Dr. Ruqayyah said? You're not a good Muslim.
Oh, that's what she said.
On it. Come on, Christy. What was the word
you said? Emphatic. He was emphatic about it. Yes.
100%. Don't you dare call yourself a Muslim if you're going to beat your wife. No, don't you dare call yourself a Muslim if you're going to ask your neighbor, why did you beat the daylight out of your wife last night? It's okay for a Muslim man to beat his wife, but don't you dare ask him why you were beating your wife last night. Christy, am I exaggerating here?
No.
Well, this is written in front of you.
It's right there. So, yeah. I don't care. Whatever she has said is ridiculous. It has nothing to do with it.
None of the sentence or the claims she made can be backed by any of the teaching of the Quran or the saying of Muhammad or the son of Muhammad. Here's the son of Muhammad. I'm sorry. So far, she did not say one truth. It is a series of lies. One lie after one lie after one lie, one lie. And I'm not even covering the subject in detail, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going through fast. If I will ask, like when I was burning this DVD to thumb drive, because now people do not have DVD player anymore. So we have to put them on thumb drive. So my friend Adam said, is that all what you got? Just, what I don't know, 2 hours, whatever. Think of listen to more. I said, that's how much time people give me to speak on the topic. Because I literally can talk about women in Islam for 10 hours. I can go through the Sharia and teach the details of Muslim men treatment of women. It will make every woman in America cry blood, not water. Cry blood, not water. If you really have compassion on the half of the Muslim population in the Muslim world. God help us. God help us. Let's continue. Let's continue. This is this very important hadith. That is Sahih Bukhari, volume 7, hadith number 715. Book 8, volume 7, hadith number 715. Guys, I'm not making up this saying. I would challenge a Muslim to come to me in the end of this study and tell me, what you said in this hadith is not true, or what you said in the Quran is not true. You lied about this, but we're telling you 100% solid truth. So help me God. Okay? Here's what Muhammad said.
Rafa'a divorced his wife, whereupon Abdurrahman married her. Aisha said that the lady came wearing a green veil and complained to her and showed her a green spot on her skin caused by beating. It was the habit of ladies to support each other. So when Allah's messenger came, Aisha said, I have not seen any woman suffering as much as the believing women. Look, her skin is greener than her clothes.
When I tell you, Christy, that the ladies were beaten by their Muslim wonderful husband, and the beating causes these bruises. No shit. Don't forget now, because there's no shed blood. Only bruises, okay? Pa, 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 bruises. And her skin is greener than her dress, which is green. What do we learn from that saying? Why in the world even the Muslim put to this to us in Sahih Bukhari? Is it because to forbid the beating, or they say that's a norm?
That pretty much says it's the norm. Yeah. I haven't seen any woman suffering as much as the believing women. Yeah, so there
not,
you go.
Not because they were Christian or Jew or Islam, either worshippers. These are the wives of the
Muslim
wonderful, godly husband who follows the Sunnah of Muhammad. Follows the Sunnah of Muhammad.
You know, Usama, on our slide, on our slide tonight to advertise the program, you see the picture of these little girls, and they're all bruised up. They're little girls. Little girls.
Their faces. Their face. When I looked at this picture when Adam was working it to do some editing and make his right size, I said, how old do you think that girl? 12? I don't think she's 12 years old. What do you think the age of these girls, Christy?
I'd say between 9 and 12. There's two
I'm
of them.
For 12. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for 12, Christy. I'm not going to go say 9, 10, 11, because I may be wrong. Why in the world Muslims would allow this to happen? Men beat their wives, their faces are destroyed.
Yeah.
And their skin is greener than their clothes. And you tell me that's not Islam. No, these are not good Muslims. Tell this to Muhammad. Tell this to the early Muslim believers. Listen to the advice of Muhammad. You see here in America, Christy, in these days right now, we're celebrating Christmas. We're going to talk about Christmas in our next podcast, Lord is willing. And you go to all the homes and the fireplace, especially up north here, the fireplace, they have this pictures of the family and the candle. My wife took all the stuff which we have after. My wife, she had like different time of the year. So all the decor she put in the house for Thanksgiving, I put it all down, back in boxes she did, and I carried with us. I put in the top of the, we have a huge shelf in the garage, literally a good 20 sheets there. I'm not talking to you. It's a three-car garage all the way to the top where I put this box, and I took down the Christmas decoration, and I know I left there 5 days ago. When I go home, the house will be beautifully decorative. I hang some of the heavy stuff from Christmas, and she will put around the fireplace, Christy, pictures of our son, a picture of us, and Christmas decorative, and the green, and the candles in the house will be smelled good. That's what we do in America. We hang pictures and memories and the socks. We put socks, even though I don't put anything in my socks. She just go and buy small stuff and put some in me, some in her socks, some in her mother's socks. And when our son, we used to live with us, she put in all the socks and say Santa came and bought the stuff, the socks, and Santa did not. But it is something great. We celebrate Christmas with this red socks, stuff in it, hang the pictures, hang the green stuff and Christmas stuff. You know what Muhammad taught the Muslim people? Here we go. Listen.
Muhammad said, hang the whip where your wives can see it. One great Muslim scholar, Abdul Latif Mushtahari, explains by saying, if admonishing and sexual desertion fail to bring forth results, and the woman is of a cold, stubborn type, the Quran bestows on a man the right to straighten her out by way of punishment and beating, provided he does not break bones nor shed blood.
Mashallah, mashallah. Hang the whip, Christy, where your wife can see it. So you go to the Muslim homes and you see this in some of the fireplace, a nice whip. You know what the whip is? Whatever. How do you make this? I don't know how to make this. You heard me?
I heard you. I know.
Yeah. That's a whip.
Yeah.
So you sit in the family, in the living room, or the family room, and your wife starts to be stubborn. Not sinners, I say, and you point your finger to the whip. I say, woman! Ooh. I'm sorry, honey. Please. Please, baby, don't whip me again. Please! If a whip is going to use, if a whip, Christy, is going to be used from a husband to his wife, what do we call this? Light beating or scourge?
Scourge.
So did I put the right translation in my Quran?
I think you did.
I
yes.
Exactly. Huh?
No, I think you put the right word.
Right word. A whip. Mm-hmm. When a man uses a whip on a horse or a donkey or a wife, he's scourging them or he lightly beats them?
No, that's scourge.
I'm glad you got this right.
Thank you.
Now, so what the Quran bestow on a Muslim man? He admonishing her. He's sleeping with the other wives, not with her anymore. And now it's not working. She is cold. She is stubborn type. So Allah gives the man the blessing to straighten her out by way of punishment and beating. But you have to forget now. Don't forget now. It is a whip. It's a light beating. It's bruises in the skin. No shedding of blood and no broken bones. Don't you love that, Christy?
No. I think it's horrible.
Well, what's wrong with you? Are you an infidel or what?
I must be an infidel.
You
obviously.
Must be an infidel. According to Muslim scholars, reasons a wife should be punished are, and by the way, that plate of reasons, I just picked up this one. Refusing his sexual advance. You know what Muhammad says in the hadith? I don't know if it's coming or not. If a man asks his wife in bed, has sex with, and she says, I'm tired, I have a headache, and she maybe have a rough day with the kid, she's sick, the angels of Allah will curse her all night long. So Allah and Muhammad, working together as a team, Allah's angels working with Muslim men as a team, he wants her in bed, and she said no. The angels of Allah will curse her, and he has the right to beat her. Can you imagine your husband beat you? You cannot even beat a prostitute. You cannot beat any woman in America. But a man can beat his wife just because she said, I'm tired or I can't. Leaving the house without permission. Did I mention to you, Christy, when she runs to the police station,
yeah.
She left the house without the husband's permission. I mean, think with me. A woman said, honey, I'm going to the police station because I'm going to run to the hospital. Hopefully they find a broken bone so I can get rid of this house. Get rid of you. You think she asked permission from her husband to go?
No.
Police station? You sure it's not going to happen?
Well, I'm sure he's not going to give it.
Your
he's not going to give it.
Oh, good, good. But if she leaves the house without her husband's permission, he has the right to beat her.
That's nice, isn't it?
Not caring about her appearance. If she's not wearing the hijab, if she's not clean, if she's not wearing, I mean, anything about her, he does not like, he has the right to beat her. Not performing religious tradition, wash and prayer. Can you imagine? It's Sunday, Christy, and your husband said, let's go to the church. We're going to pray. No, I'm not going to church today. I'm tired. I have a headache. All right. Grab the whip, man. Beat your wife. But she doesn't want to go to the church.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. A man was arrested. Why? Because he beat his wife. Why? Because she refused to go with him to the church. Have you ever heard that before, Christy?
No. Well, not among Christians, no.
Okay. What is the purpose for a Muslim man to beat his wife if she doesn't want to pray? You're going to force her to pray? Let me ask you a question, Chris. What if a woman choose to leave Islam? What do you think her husband would do?
Kill her. I mean, he can do anything.
What if your daughter refused to become a Muslim? Or
you? Oh, you definitely will kill her.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So religion Islam is by force, not by choice.
Absolutely.
What if she chooses to become a Christian? What if his son chooses to become, he left Islam and become a Christian?
Death. They can kill him.
So beating a wife for not practicing religion, that's the least.
Yes.
The least. And that can do this wife.
That's right.
Mashallah.
Refuse.
Mashallah. Let's get that. Okay. Listen to what Al-Bukhari said in Hadith number 3237.
Muhammad said, if a man calls his wife to his bed and she refuses and he goes to bed angry, the angels will curse her until morning.
I'm not kidding, Chris. When I said that they curse her, I meant they curse her. So imagine now all the angels of Allah, or maybe some of them, will spend all night long on her, the top of her bed, curse, 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 curse.
That would be like
Allah
demons.
Allah just created angels just to curse women?
Yeah, they're called demons.
Help me, Lord Jesus. Now let's go to Professor Ahmed Chalabi. We're talking about professors at the college level in the country of Egypt. If you don't think Muslims are stupid, I don't know what they call that. The professor at the college in Egypt. Here is what he teach us, student, we're going to be the husband to beat our wives. Here we go. Listen.
Punishment is a great tool of correction and disciplining to those who receive it, if it was meant for their own good. It is foolish for humans to think that they cannot correct the community without physical punishment. A great example is the military, where they punish their soldiers.
Let's see. I'm going to tell you something here. I don't know if you can get it or not. In America, the commander chief, the president of the United States of America, cannot beat anybody physically, can he?
No.
In Egypt, if there's a soldier was there a day before you came in. So you came on the 20th, there's a guy before me yesterday on the 19th. So he have more right than me because he was there before me. Maybe no stars or anything, just anybody above anybody. That person has the right to beat you physically. I'm not talking about just light beating, okay? Like you get a toothpick and you hit him with... No. I've seen that by my own both eyes in the country of Egypt. One day in the morning, I was going to the school. And I saw that officer, he had maybe one or two stars. I'm not kidding. There's a man in front of him and all other soldiers standing there. And he slapped him with the right hand, slapped him with the left hand. The guy went down, punched him with his right hand. Punched his left foot, and then with his shoes, hit him all over his body, and then he got a stick, a piece of wood, a stick, and physically was beaten. And all what this man is saying, I'm sorry, officer. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, officer. I'm sorry, sir. Please, sir, don't beat me again. I'm sorry, officer. Please, sir. This is not just in the police department. This is in our military. This is everywhere you go. I have seen by my both eyes a man working for another man, and under the stairs he was holding down in the stage, and he's beating him physically. He may have broke 10 of 20 of his bones. Hard beating. And that man could not defend himself because he working for the boss, and the boss wanted to discipline him. This is the same when a husband beats his wife. No such a thing as light beating. Even if he broke his bones, you know what the Quran said? That's a reconcile between, make peace between, his family meets with her family, and come on, man, say, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry, sir, I'm not going to beat your wife again. I'm not going to break her bones again. Next time, I promise you, I will beat her lightly. This is the society of Muslim treatment of other Muslims. Muslim beating other Muslims. Muslim beating his wife. Muslim beating his son and his daughter. It is the norm. I grew up in it. I remember, Christy, when I was 10 years old and I went to my neighbor's house and Mr. Hussein was beating his wife in front of my eyes. He turned her, put her hands behind her back, and she was against the wall and he was beating her right and left. I could not look at her eyes. for weeks I did not go to his house, even though I want to go because he used to be my neighbor and I studied with him. That's her son, Nasser. But for weeks I could not go there because I was embarrassed to look her in her eyes because she was beaten in front of me and she was crying and she was embarrassed and I was embarrassed and I was 10 years old Christy Johnson.
Terrible.
And you worry about Muslims beheading Christian men and raping Christian women, kidnapping Christian women. Just last week in Pakistan, two cases. A girl, she is 9 years old, a Christian girl, 9 years old, and the Muslim kidnapped her and married her to a husband who is, I don't know, 45, 50 years older than her. Another case, a girl, 13 years old, also a Christian lady, was kidnapped by another Muslim man who is also in his 50, whatever he is, and he's marrying her. And they tell you, you cannot go to the police station. The family of the Christian girls cannot meet with their daughter because their daughter already converted to Islam and their daughter already married to a Muslim husband. A 9 years old, Christy. A 9 years old? Where is the woman who's speaking about freedom of women, women's rights? Where are the garbage liberal Democrats who are destroying America when they see this happening all over the Muslim world as they know nothing about it? Where are they? Does anybody care?
Well, I know the liberal women are not saying anything, and that's because they don't have any moral concern about what happens to women. It's all just politics, and they don't care what's happening, exactly. Really.
Exactly. One more time. Here's what I shared with you earlier, and here's the truth. And the information is in front of you. This is Al-Tabari, volume 2, page 127. I'm not making it up, guys. I am telling you the truth. I challenge Muhammadan right now to come to my TV show and say that hadith is not true. This story is not accurate. You tell me that to make it up. Listen what we have here.
Muhammad ordered a raid on a village that opposed him. His adopted son, Zaid, captured an elderly woman. He tortured her mercilessly and killed her by tying her feet with ropes to two separate camels, which went in different directions, splitting her in half.
Muhammad never killed an elderly woman. Muhammad never beat an elderly woman. Are you really that stupid, Muslim friends? Are you that ignorant of the history of your Muhammad and the Sunnah of Islam? That's how Muslims ought to live? Well, how dare these Muslims burn some infidel or some Muslims who joined the Americans to kill the Americans? They killed the Muslims. They burned them alive. Just last week, as we shared with you in our last program, I believe, not here, I did it some other TV show with Brother Adam, there's a man from Sri Lanka in Pakistan. Somebody went to his office and they put a piece of paper, something about Islam was written on it, and stick it on the wall. He came to his office, look at this thing on the wall, pull it out, and throw it in the trash can. Ooh, blaspheming. He blasphemed. I don't know what was written in that piece of garbage. Muhammad, a child molester, who the Muslim claimed to be a prophet. I don't care what's written. Islam is garbage. Islam is garbage. Allah has stated Muhammad is a very wicked, sinful man. Whatever was written on the paper, he took it from the wall, put it in the garbage can. They took him outside, took his clothes off, beat him, dragged him by cars or motorcycles all over the street, and the man lost his conscience, and then they burned him alive. And guess what, Christy? Hundreds of people, thousands of people watching, and the police is watching, and they did nothing to stop that. That savage teaching is the result of Muhammad's sunnah. When he put that old elder lady in her 80s between two camels, spread it to two hands. It's the same, burning a guy, dragging behind the car or behind the motorcycle. What difference does it make? It is savage Islam because Allah is Satan and Muhammad was a savage, wicked piece of garbage. That's who Muhammad was. And as long as we the Americans zip it, we don't say anything about Muhammad. He is a prophet, and your children will grow up in our Bible school to believe that Muhammad is a prophet. And if Muhammad is a prophet, your Jesus is not God, and your Bible is corrupt, and kiss Christians goodbye. And the day will come, and the Muslims will do that which they are doing right now in the Muslim world, in America. They will kill your men, women and your daughters. Just wait. Wait until the Muslims have the upper hand in America. When they have enough Muslims in America to destroy America from within. And the Democrats are doing a great job. From now on, 2-3 million every year will become in this country illegally. Don't count now. They opened up. See, Trump was bad. He banned the Muslims from coming to America. But Biden and the rest of the Democrats are good to bring Muslims to America. It's 100,000 without even vetting them. How do you vet a Muslim? How do you vet a Muslim? The simple vetting I do is, are you a Muslim? Yeah. You believe in Muhammad and the Quran? Yeah. You cannot come to America. But
good
who's
going
to do the vetting like that? Who's going to do the vetting like
that? They don't do that.
Are you going to, yeah, Christy, you ask a Muslim, are you going to beat your wife lightly? Oh, okay, you can come. What is the vetting? You're stupid to even talk about vetting.
Yasona, they don't even know what these people's names are. What is that?
We got 120,000. I got 120,000. That is their number. I have no idea. There may be 400,000. I have no clue. They said 120,000 men with their little children. Surprise, surprise. They found that their little children are not actually their little children. This is
their wives. Yeah.
A man in his 30 and his 40 and he have a 9, 10, 12 years old wife.
Yeah.
I was just talking to my friends before the show, as I'm saying, friends I was talking earlier from Wisconsin. I said, I would like to move to Wisconsin or Minnesota, where the Muslim Somali and the Muslim Afghani practicing the marriage for children. I will go there and I'll ask a friend of mine to give me his daughter. I'm not going to touch her. I'm not going to harm her. I'll just take her inside the house, and I let people see her in my car, take her inside the house in my car, and maybe I can have her mama with me in the house, but nobody will know anything about it, okay? And I will make somebody make a phone call to the policeman that this guy, Usama Dakhdo, 52 years old, having a little child with him, he take her in and out of that house, and they live in by themselves, okay? I guarantee you, Christy Johnson, within few minutes after the phone call we make, my house will be raided and I'll be arrested. You make a bet?
Yeah, it could happen.
I'm telling you, you make a bet. I will bet it. The police will come arrest me for how can I have that? I will tell this my wife. How old is she? She's 9 years old. How old are you? I'm 52. I challenge them if you let me continue to live with her as a husband and wife. Even though I'm not going to touch her. I'm telling you, there's a drama I'm going to make. And I guarantee you, if I do that in every Muslim community in America, I will be arrested simply because I am the Straightway Grace Ministry. But if they know that I am from Pakistan or Afghanistan or some Muslim country and she's my wife, I trust me.
They won't do
anything. They will never touch me.
That's right.
They will never touch me. Let's move on. Let's move on.
Finally, there is the issue of giving witness. Although the Quran says nothing explicit, other Islamic sources suggest that a woman's testimony in court is worth only half of that of a man. This ruling, however, should be applied only in circumstances where a woman is uneducated and has led a very restricted life. A woman equally qualified to a man will carry the same weight as a witness.
You know, stupid is stupid, right?
So funny.
That woman is stupid.
That is so ridiculous. Where a woman is uneducated and has led a very restricted life. Oh, guess what? That's every Muslim woman. They're not supposed to be educated, and they have a restricted life.
In the uniform studies, they stay at their house and they get married. If a woman gets married at the age of birth, and she moved to her husband's house at the age of 9, what do you think she's going to go to college for?
She's not.
Is she going to go to prep school or high school or anything at all?
She can learn to spin and cook
and
recite Surah Al-Nur.
24. Don't teach him how to read without Surah, but recite it. Because you can memorize the Quran without even know how to read a word.
That's it, right.
But this is what she said. Although the Quran says nothing explicit. What if I open the Quran right now and I share with you a verse, Christy? She's supposed to be an author. She wrote 30 books. She's a good Muslim, married to a Muslim man from Pakistan. By the way, he divorced her, threw her out of her house, I guarantee you, because he got to marry his own cousin, beautiful first cousin, attractive, hot, sexy, young Pakistani. She does not know she was used as a useful idiot for that Pakistani to become a citizen in England. And after he become a citizen, he does not need her anymore. Unless she's willing to have her and his other wives in the same house, in the same bed. That woman is sick. That woman is sick. That verse, there's nothing about other Islamic sources. I'm sorry. Is the Quran other Islamic sources, Christy, or the Quran is the holy Islam source?
That's the source, the Quran.
Other Islamic sources suggested
a suggestion.
Maybe yes, maybe no. You can do it, you don't have to do it. Yeah, see? That a woman's testimony in court is worth only half of that of a man. I think the word of Allah in the Quran is the most important source for every man to know how women value is, what is woman value is. This ruling, however, should be applied only in circumstances where a woman is uneducated, that is every Muslim woman, as you said, Christy, and has led a very restricted life, that is every Muslim woman. Women equally qualify to a man will carry the same weight as, says who? Just somebody help me. Is this a prophet, Ruqayya Abdul Maksud, Dr. Ruqayya Abdul Maksud, prophetess?
Yeah, new Islam.
That's a new Islam for garbage Muslims in the West. Here's the word of Allah, by the way, Quran, chapter 2, verse 282, verse Christy, that verse is in the Quran. You know that?
Yeah.
So we're agreement. I'm not making it up.
Nope.
Here we go.
So if the debtor was mentally deficient or weak or cannot dictate, so let his friend dictate with fairness and call two witnesses from your men. So if there were not two men, so one man and two women of those among you whom you are pleased for witnesses, so that if one of them should make an error, the other may cause her to remember.
Man, oh man. Man, oh man. Call two men. If not two men, one man and two women of those who are uneducated, who have a hard life, or stupid, or maybe they have difficulty or weakness and cannot think. Mental weakness. Is that what the Quran said, Christy? One man and two women of those among whom you are pleased for witness. I'm talking about the best two ladies in the community.
That's right.
The best two ladies. Not the whack one, the one cannot think. Okay?
That's right.
Why is that, Chris? See, did Allah say because men equal to women?
No. Not at all.
Because women are stupid.
Takes two.
Okay? Because if one of them forgot, the other one would remind
you. Oh, no. Yeah, let me remind you.
Exactly. You got it, Christy. You know what's so amazing? If you study psychology, Christy, and you know that, and it's a fact, women remember much better than men.
Yes.
No kidding. Women use left brain and right brain all the time, every minute, every second of their life. So they use the emotion and the logic all the time, every minute of their life. Women use the right brain or the left brain. The right plane or the left plane. Okay? So, this is a true story. I'm not making it up.
Oh, I know.
Because it's still alive. You heard me before saying that. Here we go. So, I was in Home Depot. And I was picking up some stuff for my business years ago when I was in full-time business. And my wife called me, answered the phone. Yes, ma'am. She said, can you get me some wood and some screws? She used to have a delivery shop. I said, oh, glad you called me. I'm here in Home Depot. What else do you need? So she told me she needs the screws, she needs brackets, 3 inches bracket, 5 inches bracket, and 5 inches wood, which is actually 5 1/4, they call it 6 inches. And all the stuff, and I got them all. I know exactly what she's talking about. I was using the right side of my brain. I got them all right. I got them written down in my head. Pick, 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 pick. I'm so proud of myself. I'm going home at the, I don't know, a couple hours later or whatever it is. And I'm going home, and I said, honey, I'm home. Oh, I'm glad you came. How are things going up? How is my boy? Oh, give him a hug, give him a kiss. my boy, okay? He was a little boy at the time. And then I put all the wood on the on her tables where she said, oh, where is the milk? I said, excuse me, what? She said, you didn't get the cheese either. I said, what cheese? She said, I told you, after you get all the stuff in Home Depot, go to Walmart. Oh, left department, Christy. Food, left department. What screws? Home Depot is here. Walmart is here. I did not switch. I'm not kidding. I did not switch. I said, I never heard you say this thing about milk or cheese. This is the reality. We men use right brain or left brain. We don't use both. You women can switch. Right brain, left brain, right brain, left brain. Both of them together at the same time. Your brain is working like that. Well, good luck to make us think like you think. You have a better chance to remember than any man can remember. But in Allah's book, the best women are stupid. Muhammad says they have less brain and less religion. Less brain and less religion. So when you talk to your husband, make sure that he switch. Honey, now we're going to go to food. Switch your brain to the left side. Okay? I need you to get me whatever you want to get from Walmart. If you don't do that, most likely your husband will come home with the stuff which fit in this department here on the right side, but he will not get you anything from the stuff which fit in the left side, which is the other department. You woman, God made you specially, greatly, you remember much better than us. All right? That's a fact. Listen to this. The end of our story here. Muhammad said what?
One woman of 99 women is in heaven, and the rest of them are in fire.
So they live on earth, Christy Johnson, in hell. And when they die, they just end in hell. I don't know why women are Muslims. They've been brainwashed that stupid. They've been brainwashed that unclean. They've been brainwashed that they're no good for anything. If you have a son or your daughter, and all your life, all the time, you're stupid, guess what? They're going to grow up to believe they're stupid. That's exactly what happened to half of the Muslim society. The women are not stupid. And not only they're stupid, when they die, they will go to hell. Here's another
Muhammad
hadith.
Muhammad said, as I stood by the gate of hell, I saw that most of those who enter the gate are women.
How do you feel about that, Christy? As a woman, as a female, how do you feel about women in Islam?
Well, obviously, Usama, there is nothing that I think would attract women to want to be Muslim. I believe women who are Muslim will be greatly thankful to leave Islam if it wasn't going to cost them their life in many cases. It's terrible.
What man gained, Bible said, if he won the whole world and lost his soul? My dear Muslim ladies, my dear Muslim sisters, if you are watching this program right now, I want you to go back to the previous 6 podcasts. This is program number 7. I try to take it lightly, small session at a time. And if you have any question, I would love to talk with you. If you think I lie, you Muslim men, Muslim women, about anything we taught in this 7 session, please, with all respect, give me a call. My information is online. Just Google you Usama Daknok. You find my telephone number, my email, text message, whatever. Tell me, what is I'm missing from the truth about women in love? To be abused as the after birth, to be circumcised, that they lose their good gift of sex. God gave women a great gift of sex, and Muslim men take it away. They get married at the age of 1 day old, or 1 hour old, but men cannot have sex with them until they're 9. They can be, literally, I don't want to repeat my study here. Just go back. Go back and watch these 7 sessions. And tell me, where did I lie? Where did I get wrong? Because if I have made any mistake, I'll be glad, very glad. In my next time when I do the study, I will take the slide out. I will take this verse out. I will take the saying of Muhammad out. I will take that's what you see right now out, because I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to be lying. But if everything I said is true, why are you a Muslim? A man or a woman? Because that woman is your wife. Because that woman is your mother. because that woman is your daughter, because that woman is your sister, because that woman is half of your society. Take your wife. Take your daughter. Take your children. Take whatever you have and run out of Islam. Break the chain. You are tied to the chain of the darkness of Islam, and you're going to continue to be in it, especially many of you Muslims who do not even understand Arabic. Why are you Muslim? Leave Islam. Set yourself free. Set yourself free and set your children free and become a Christian. I don't want you to leave Islam and become an agnostic or become an atheist or become something else, because guess what? Leaving Islam without becoming a Christian, you will spend eternity in hell, the same hell which Muhammad is teaching you. A man or a woman, there is no salvation for you in Islam, because the Bible is very clear. All have sinned. I have sinned. Christy Johnson has sinned. Heather Seeker has sinned. Everybody has sinned. The wages of sin is death. We all deserve to die. We are dead spiritually. We're going to die physically, and we're going to die for eternity in that hell which Muhammad is talking about. And the only way I can receive forgiveness of my sin, and so is you, to accept the gift of God, the gift of eternal life, because Jesus Christ came in this world in the flesh, and he died on the cross for you and me. He died as a substitute to save us. The whole world believes in that. Even the Christians, not only the Christian theologians, but the Jewish theologians, the historians, the Greek and Roman historians, wrote about Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. Many of them do not believe in it, but they wrote about it because it's a fact. It did happen. Only Muhammad denied the death of Christ. Only Muhammad denied the deity of Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Why? Because Muhammad is a tool used by Satan to make people believe in the lies of the Quran, including the lies which actually Muslims teach today, like Dr. Rukiya Abdul Maksud. That excellent professor from England who maybe led thousands of young girls in England to Islam, and she herself have no place in heaven. She was made eternity in hell because not only did she believe in a lie, but because she also teach lies. So the Bible says, Christy, about the difference between a man and a woman, it is here. Galatians 3:28.
There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
We are one. Men and women are one. Jew and Greek are one. Free and slave are one. We're in Christ Jesus. Not because we know about Christ Jesus in our head. No, you are in Christ Jesus. Think about it this way, a different. Noah was building his ark. And he built the ark in 120 years. That's a long time, Christy Johnson. I'm much older than you are. 120 years.
Right.
And people were watching Noah build on the ark. And there are plenty of different people. Some people travel for weeks on their camel or on their mule or their horses or their donkey just to see this big building. I said, what a crazy guy. And Noah stood there and he preached. And he said, flood is coming. The water is coming, and the whole world will be destroyed by water, by flood. Come, repent, and come believe in my God, and be with us in the boat. And the people who travel from far, far away, let's say, no, thank you. That guy is crazy. Rain, water, yeah. And some people were very close. They actually lived where Noah lived. And every morning, they look at him and look at his sons, and they build in that boat. And the boat rolled slowly, 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 120 years. The people from faraway lands will travel weeks to come look at that building because they heard about it. And the people who stand next to the Noah's Ark, they saw the whole thing from beginning to end, are the same. They both travel. Why? Because they were not inside the boat. When Noah and his wife and his three sons, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and three daughters-in-law, and all the animals and all the birds went inside the Noah's ark, and God closed the door, that was the end, Christy Justin. It doesn't matter how close are you from Noah's ark. If you can touch it by your hand, physically you can touch it, or you are miles away. They all drowned simply because they were not inside the boat, inside Noah's Ark? Are you in Christ Jesus? Are you a believer in Christ Jesus? Let the people think they're Christians because they go to church. No, you need to be the church, not to go to church. You yourself need to be the church, the body of Christ. A person in the body of Jesus Christ. That's how you are in Christ Jesus. He died on the cross for your sin. He paid for the penalty of our sin, which is death. But that payment will not apply to me or to you unless you say, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. A little bit later here, as we're going to close this study, I want you to listen carefully to the closing prayer. And if you will repeat this prayer and mean it in your heart, you will become a new creature. You will be in Christ Jesus. Not know about Christ Jesus, because believe me, the devil knows Jesus much better than you and I can know. The Bible tells us that the devil knows God and knows the word of God, and they can quote the scripture for Jesus. The devil did that. So it's not about knowledge in the head. It's about transformation of your heart. Are you in Christ Jesus? If not, why not tonight? Just open your heart and pray the prayer as we're going to be playing in a few minutes here. Christy, any thoughts?
Just that as we're learning and people are saying, you know, how do we get women to understand this, these feminists? Well, some of them are going to be deliberately deceiving others. But for those that are deceived and have not heard the truth, please share this. They need to know. They need to understand that, you know, Islam is not a religion. It's a cult. It's evil. It destroys people, women and men.
Sadly, when I look around the world, Christy, and the media in America is so garbage. The media is making me sick for the amount of persecution which is happening right now around the world.
All over.
And the media in America are not saying anything at all. If my picture is not good, guys, I apologize. I'm in a very bad area, but I'm glad that you can hear me and the teaching has been said, I believe, well here tonight. But, Christy, the media in America are a bunch of garbage. God is my witness. Those are the people who are going to burn in hell, even if they claim to be a Christian. Why? Because there's so much persecution to Christians in 57 Muslim countries. Even the people, the Christians in Europe right now are persecuted by the Muslims.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going to come to America. But the media don't want to talk about it. They don't want to upset the Democrats. They are in bed with the Muslims who are here in America to destroy America. The media will not tell you any truth about what's happening. Not in the Muslim world, not in Europe. And that will repeat itself in America. America, you will harvest what you plant. If you plant good seed, you'll have good fruit. If you plant evil seed, you're going to have evil fruit. And what we're doing here is nothing but garbage, including the lies we teach our children in our public school about women. If I have another 2 hours, I can open my presentation, Lies in the Textbooks, so I can share with you what your children are learning in your garbage public school about women in Islam. I love one book says, in the eyes of Allah. What is the eyes of Allah? Men and women are equal. Are you kidding me? You mean the eye of Allah does not match the words of Allah? How stupid can you be to believe that in the eyes of Allah, men and women are equal, but in the entire word of Allah, as we have shared in the last 7 broadcasts, men are in charge of women, and women are literally slaves of men. That's what it is. Think about it. If you can grab the whip from the fireplace and beat your wife, what is it? When you scourge your own wife, does that make her an equal partner? Does this make men and women equal in the eyes of Allah?
I don't think so. No. This is really tragic because a lot of this teaching, Usama, is going on. It started in the colleges, and you attended a presentation in Louisiana, in Mississippi. This is the area of the Bible Belt. So in these colleges, our young people were being brainwashed. Now, those people who were in college are raising their families and they're teaching in the other schools, elementary school, middle school. It's just terrible. It's tragic.
It's sad. Our time is up, Christy. Do you have any comments, any question from anybody in the room up there?
Nope. I think that we answered most of the questions. Several people said thank you for the presentation. And as I said, please share. Please share it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guys, without your help, this channel will always be small. I do not have a problem. Continue to teach the two people who show up in my broadcast. Two people. But if you think this is an important message, if you think this channel needs to grow, it's all up to you. If you don't share it with your friends and let other people know about it, every day I advise some new people to come to join us. But it's up to you. There's nothing else I can do about it. If each and every one of you send these links and share this video with other people, this
Hello?
Will take
Hello?
This ministry
this is an
to higher
NCIC
level. Otherwise, it's
going to
be just me and you. I don't want to do that.
But
then you are literally guilty like the rest of the leaders of this country. We have solid
information.
I'm not making this up. And it's up to you.
All phone calls are subject to monitoring and recording.
Christy, I lost
you
your mic. I lost your camera. I don't know if you did this on purpose or not.
Hello.
But I will say this is the end
yes,
of
honey,
our study.
Yes, honey, what's going on?
Thank you so much for being with us in this study. Next Saturday program, Lord's willing.
I've been trying to reach you all night. What happened, honey?
In Islam, talking about the birth of Christ, Christmas in Islam, and we see, does really most of people believe in the same thing we believe about Jesus? Do most of you believe about Jesus the same way we believe about Jesus?
Oh, my God.
Just big Google there.
This is insane.
So I'm going to close our study now because our time is up. Lord willing, we see you next Saturday as we continue our study. Was revealing the truth about the Lord. God bless you and keep us
in your prayers. But I don't have mom on the phone, but I know that I don't want to hear her. And I don't have money on the right deal, but I will have money in the account. I just know I'm thinking
perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity of Islamic prayers about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he was made to paradise.
Honey, I don't have that kind of money. I don't even know where to even get it.
That your soul be with the Lord.
This is insane.
God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know.
Yeah, I'm still in the middle of my show, so I'm... No, listen to me, honey. No, I'm glad you called me. Honey, I'm glad you called me. I wanted you to call me. I'm just trying to figure out. Joe, Vicky is...
I was trying to figure out what's going on. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner,
and
that I need your forgiveness, but I believe
and
you sent Jesus to die for me,
to
pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sins, and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior.
Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
They said come next week, and... What?
Have you accepted the Lord Jesus
Christ
as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam, Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. www.thestraightway.org.
So where's your
God
bar?
So rich. Can we meet again right here on the truth about Islam?
This is horrible. Oh, my God. This is so horrible. Oh, my God. My daughter, God, you know she doesn't deserve this. And just because she came here to stand up and be in court and
well,
take care of what needs to be taken care of. Oh, my gosh, this
Thanks
is so bad.
All of you who have joined us tonight, I want to pray that the Lord will continue to bless you, watch over you, and